Мне только что дали темы нашего сегодняшнего.
I was just given the topics of our lesson today, of our discussion. I'm just going to ask everybody to please turn down your headphones. If you can turn it down to just the barely audible level, that would be the best. You would actually hear better also. So the topics are as follows. One, the whole world is one family. Men and women, children. So, and I also have some questions here, but basically whatever you want to hear. As I said, we're just moving a lot faster in this Congress than usual. So the lessons that we were thinking about planning earlier, they're becoming sort of not current, because we already went over a lot of these questions. So talking about them specifically is not very useful. There isn't really a point. From the science of Kabbalah, we learn how the upper world is built and which forces descend into our world. Everything that exists in our world. In the upper world, you have the forces. And in our world, you have all sorts of objects which fall under their influence, which are the consequences of these forces. These upper forces are called roots. Roots. And the lower ones, which are in our world, are called consequences. Consequences. So this is the upper world, Rav writes. And this is the lower world. Below it, there is nothing, and worse than it, there is nothing. So, we're already in a pretty good spot. And everything that happens with us happens under the influence of these forces, which come to us from the forces, from the roots. There's nothing in our world which doesn't come from above. So, blaming somebody in general, each other, humanity, people, nations, government, is all pointless because all of this is controlled by the forces above. And if we look realistically at this picture, objectively, we'll see that everything comes from above. So our only problem, no matter what it is here, is solved only by ascending to this level of upper forces and to influence them. And how can we do this? We can invoke a different influence from them. So not the first forces will be active on us, but perhaps some consequences from them, which come out from them, they will influence us. In this way, we will receive changes in our world, and in no other way. We try and try over many thousands of years with all sorts of methods and practices. And recently there are a lot of these sort of ways to try to change your destiny, and we see that it's all pointless. And it's pointless to talk to the Creator. He doesn't hear anything. The one that we imagine is the Creator. And no actions in our world still don't bear any fruit. Everything is as it is. All of us which live through enough years in this world, we imagine this very clearly for ourselves. And so we can agree with the science of Kabbalah that says, on the level of our world, there is no solution. Our world is a consequence. But the consequence is on the level where these decisions are made, and decisions are made in the upper world. Therefore, realistically, when humanity is before a serious problem, a crisis, let's say, and I received many questions about this from friends, Specifically today, since we came to a global crisis, since everything that's happening with us is already happening in this general picture, then we'll have the opportunity, if we gather together, to influence these upper forces. But in general, just one, there's actually just one here. There's one that's divided into many sub-forces, individual forces, which influence us. In studying the spiritual structures and qualities, we discover very interesting combinations of these forces. They are grouped among themselves. Each of them is grouped from Sfirot to Pertsufim. A Sfira is a system which influences us below here in this world of consequences. And Pertsufim connect together in more global unities called worlds. So in the upper world, you have worlds, Pertsufim, and Sfirot. Sfirot are the smallest associations. Pertsufim, a Pertsuf is a more global one, and a world is an even more global one. And everything connects into one general world. And all of this is to take all of this upper light, the light of the Creator, until us, who are here below in our world. So, studying Kabbalah, we can imagine for ourselves why it's better to organize in this world in such a way that we more correctly build our society, family, home, upbringing, relationship between a husband and wife, man and a woman, in a family, nations, and all the world. How can we do this so that we can be in equivalence with our roots, in similarity to them? To this degree, to the degree to which we are similar to them, we will feel more comfortable. But if we reach a certain balance, a certain similarity with the upper world, not even with all of humanity, but even a small group, which can be called an association, a group, if we can construct such a similar image to the upper, then we will feel the upper and ourselves as a single whole. This is called an ascent into the upper world. Now, when we study the upper world, we study its qualities. First of all, since there's only one force which influences us, it exists almost for the whole world simultaneously. So the closer all the people, all the components of our world will act with each other, will be closer to the upper force, the more they act together. And now, as we know, the whole world was created from a spark of the upper light, a tiny particle which broke through the barrier between our world and the last world, the so-called Big Bang, and from it formed all of our universe. First of all, it formed a space, because before this there was also no space. A space is a concept in our world. And then after this empty space, it created all of the universe, everything that's inside of it, the planet Earth and us. And now the small particle of light includes in itself all energy, all material, everything, all information, everything that's in our world. So you can imagine what the difference is between the upper world and this world. And this is what physicists are talking about and cosmologists, that a tiny little spark in our world gave birth to our entire universe. It broke through to our world and it gave birth to the entire universe. This is what the physicists, contemporary physicists, are writing. So now we have to understand the better we form groups, the closer we'll be to the spiritual energy that created us. And we'll be able to overcome many, many obstacles and problems. And when we study the upper world, we begin to study also our relationships. In the upper world, we are in the following state. Here's the Mahsom, or the Parsa, let's call it. Below it you have the world of Briya, Yetzira, Asiya, and below that you have our world. Here in our world, we are with our bodies. But in the upper worlds, Briya, Yetzira, and Asiya, we are with our souls. Here are our souls. Our souls. So egoistically, they're ready for correction, our spiritual correction. Here's, it's not the ego of our world. I'm going to call the ego of our world Ego 1 and Ego 2 the one from above. The ego from our world is just when I want to swallow everything up, to receive from myself, to fill myself as much as possible with all the pleasures of this world. Food, sex, a home, family, and then you have power, wealth, knowledge. This is on the level of ego number one, the egoism of our world. But if in me I have a point in the heart, when it appears, it already relates to the beginning of these spiritual worlds, Briya, Yetzira, and Asiya, and they're called spiritual worlds which are disconnected from perfection. Perfection is here, above the Parsa. This is perfection. And here are the imperfect worlds. Imperfect worlds. Why? Here we're also playing with our egoism, but it's group. It's in a group. When we start studying Kabbalah, we start to work. I start to work with my ego against the group. Let's call this the sigma a sum of desires. And between us, we have many different problems. Me, the group, me, my friend, this egoism that has to be repaired. We have to repair it. This animal egoism, which is on this world, food, sex, family, home, and you have wealth and power and knowledge, money. All this ego of this world, you can leave it alone. You don't have to correct it. It's individual. It's not societal. And you think that, money is societal. It's not related to my spiritual progress. My spirituality is only in how well I can connect to the group, how well I can attach to me other points in the hearts, or to connect myself to these points in the hearts. This is why we, with you, need to quickly understand that we shouldn't work with our world. Just cross it out and to begin to occupy ourselves with the spiritual world, to connect between ourselves. As soon as I, let's say, connect to the group, and I'm able to connect in one mutual desire to ascend above this secondary egoism, immediately mine and the group desire ascend upwards through these worlds of Briya, Isran, Asiya, and is connected automatically to a system called Malchut. Now, to the degree that we invoke Malchut in with our desires, a lack, a sensation of a lack of corrected desires, this Malchut begins to elevate us to its next Partsuf, which is called Zeir Anpin. In Aramaic, this is an ancient language which is also used in Kabbalah. Since all of Kabbalah comes to us from ancient Babylon, it's called a small face, a small panim. This is a small illumination of the upper light. And as soon as Malchut begins to elevate its desire to Zeir Anpin, immediately Zeir Anpin takes this desire even higher into this enormous system, which goes almost to the world of infinity, is called the system of Binah. Here you have Chokhmah, and you have Keter, the crown. This is absolute perfection. Malchut is for itself the female part. Female. And Zerampin is the male part. From this, we must understand that the feminine desire, even in our world, is deterministic. It determines. It is the quieter one, sort of, let's say, it's not bright, it's not loud, but specifically, the feminine desire invokes the male one in order for it to do something with itself. Everybody that in our world has lived, everybody understands that in general, women quietly amongst themselves rule over the world. The feminine desire is the determinative. And a woman forces, well, let's say a man essentially is built in such a way, this male partsuf, according to Zeir Anpin, feels the desire only when it's pushed from below. Through the souls, through Malchut, come a pressure. And Zeir Anpin then must ascend to Binah, and then from Binah, from above, light must descend through the male part to the female, and there are already souls which ascended. And so in this intersection between Zeir Anpin and Malchut, this is the fulfilling of the souls. Malchut includes all the souls that ascended to her. Zeir Anpin brings the light there, and it turns out that the woman is inseminated almost by the spiritual man, the fertilized by the spiritual male part above her. And what needs to be corrected is corrected. So here we have to make clear conclusions. A woman must be more active in all of our actions. and men will involuntarily sort of listen up to them, neglecting, you know, not listening to the fact that perhaps men don't want to hear women. All of this also comes from the parts of Zerampin. We see how difficult it is to force him to bring the upper light. But if it's done correctly, as a result, then he brings it. He calls forth and brings forth through him the upper light. It's just like normally a woman with her presence, she organizes the house, she sends her husband to work, and he needs to justify her waiting for him and bring back what she expects. Now, in our generation, of course, it's sort of mutating into a different form, but what can you do? We have to understand that we're already in such a time that should have been started to be corrected a long time ago. And since it's not being, and since it wasn't corrected, then it's going through skewed states. It's already over-ripened. It's already, it's not it. It's not just ready for use. It's already becoming difficult to work with this state. So we didn't do it in time. And now today, we should hurry up and come to the correct solution. What other interactions are there between the male and female parts? The masculine is active in study also. It participates in study. The connection between Zerampin and Bina, they happen during an ascent, during a study of Kabbalah. From Malchut to Zerampin come desires. Desires, Rav writes. These desires from Zerampin to Bina, they are raised during a study. It doesn't mean that a woman shouldn't study. But for her, a study is secondary and not primary. She participates even if she doesn't study. With these desires that she elevates, it's enough. In general, for the masculine part to drive these desires forward. Therefore, I invite all of the women in our world kli, our world group, to understand this system and to regard it very seriously. Because after we're all in this group, in general, the feminine desires elevate. The masculine group has to feel pressure from the feminine, and the women's group has to take advantage of this. We need to understand this. We need to understand this expectation from the women, and everybody should play the role. A woman shouldn't take the role of a man, and vice versa. This is everything concerning the relationship between a man and a woman. There should be a feminine part, a masculine part, a men's part of the group, and a women's group. All this is what, still in the same question? No, this is something different. The men's part of the group and the women's part of the group should be separated, should be cooperating in something and in something separate. The women have a full right to participate in everything except some special sort of unification meetings when friends gather. But in general, in dissemination, in preparing material, in working through it, in editing, but everything that's connected to the outside world, a woman should participate in, should be more active, because in general, giving birth, this motion forward, expansion, is specifically a woman's role, only with the force of the man pushing her from within. This is the state of men and women in our group. Of course, the whole world should come to such a state when there is one connected female part, one connected male part, Adam and Eve, and they between themselves connect correctly in a correct way and are corrected. This is the so-called original sin, this egoism that occurred between them and caused the differences in the parts between men and women. If there are other questions about the relationship between men and women, then I'm prepared to hear them so that we would be done with this part. Hello, you guys asleep? Forward. Quickly. Men may also ask, why not?
I'm Vesna. I come from Germany.
Vesna is Germany.
I will speak English now because I prepare a question in English. What is about the women that are not married and whose children are grown up and don't have a family and house and to push a man? What is the correct participation in this group? What is correct role and correct connection? Thank you.
Well, in general, a woman who's not married or married, that's not a big problem or difference. Kids who have a father or don't, it's also conditional. Even when there's a father, I don't even know when they see him or how much they're involved with him. It's not that important. We're in such a time, in a state, when the family falling apart is just a fact. And we won't be able to do anything with it. This will continue on. And also from the side of women and the side of men. There are many women that don't want to get married. There are women that want to have children but not a husband. And there are many men who still feel themselves as children, and at 40 years of age, he still wants to live with his mom. And at 30 years old, he lived alone, and at 35, he's back with his mom for his secondary childhood. So everything that happens today, I wouldn't call it something else except a mutation. And in this state, we should start our work, our correction. It's in that that all children are children, all women, including women that aren't married, are the feminine part, and the men who are married or are not are the male part. We should just see each other as a single unified whole. And in this single whole, there is no difference if I have a husband or I don't, if I connect with a group, if I participate in it with in dissemination, if I do everything that I can do to advance spiritually, then the entire masculine part will involuntarily perform the role of my spiritual husband. And I completely don't need a husband in order to advance spiritually. Moreover, I can imagine for myself, I should feel myself in this case advancing spiritually. There's no requirement for women to get married as a rule of nature. Men, yes, he has a responsibility to get married because when he's next to a woman, he feels her pressure more. It compels him more, and that's why. There's no other reason. But women, besides that, they still feel this pressure, and without that, they want to strive forward. So everything should be made only to reach our goal. Every calculation should be made to reach this spiritual state, the sensation of the upper world. Now, with respect to children, we give them an upbringing together. First of all, we're just talking about what's happening with us at home. We have two television channels by which we have many, many children's shows. Today we have a serious developing system of upbringing. And I hope that within the year we'll be able to finish it for different levels of kids. Children starting from ages 4 to 6 up to age 16. So almost the entire the youth of a person can be shown to be, can be sort of scheduled or shown, and then there will be materials in audio and video, books, and anybody anywhere should be able to just take this, take from our site, and start using it to know how to work with the children, no matter where they are, far away. Moreover, if we have groups, like in Berlin, let's say, in other countries, other big towns, then organize yourselves in such a way that there's a place to order so women and men can gather, not just the... women and children can gather, not just the men. This is very important. We're counting on in the summer to have summer camp for kids, 10 days, 2 weeks, something like that, when we will teach them all. Of course, it's with games, and we'll make it interesting. It's not just going to be these poor kids that are forced into studying, but to occupy them with games, trips, field trips to the sea, to the parks, to the zoo. And all of this will be together with very serious work of the children with each other. I think you can do this also in different countries if it's difficult to come to us. It's not easy. Next, we need to try to organize around our internet, where we put all of our freshest materials in our upbringing and education of children. Because this is an enormous problem. We taught a person, we learned how to give a person an upbringing so that he'd become a worker, but not become a person, so that he stays an animal, just is able to work, or worse. And school gives an education, but not upbringing. And school is created for this. A school was created when there was a technical industrial revolution, when you needed a lot of workers. And then you took these peasants into the town, and you needed people to start working different jobs, like mechanics. You know how Charlie Chaplin had these movies. So you take these peasants, and you want to put them so that they would stand next to a machine and pump out whatever their work was. So they opened a school. They started teaching them simple grammar, multiplication tables, and then afterwards they were able to somehow understand something, to do something, to be able to work. And this is where school came from. So the purpose of school is completely not oriented on upbringing, but only on education. You see, who goes to school? What do you have? What you have: mathematics, physics, chemistry, zoology. Maybe you have physical education, and that's it. This is school. And the most important thing: how do you make a person out of them? Who are you? What is your purpose? What is the society you're living in? What should the relationship be between you and others? Why aren't they like they should be? Sociology, social contact, which should be correct. None of this is existing. School was from 200 years ago, if not a little more. Well, a real school, let's say like 160 years ago, and that's how it remains. So we need to add, this is essential. And here I'm going to UNESCO after this Congress. I have a conference there with a director about this topic. I already have an appointment, an audience with him. So we have to think about this. I want to say just one thing. All this depends on you. And first of all, on the women. If a woman desires something, she can do anything. Before our time, the world was as if run by men. Until this last egoistic crisis. And now, today, when we begin the series of correction, the women's part is the determining part. Is that it?
My name is Angelus, and I'm from Vilnius. I have a few questions. Can I say that all deficiencies and claims of women in the dress of men basically have the intention of bringing them to correction, no matter what claims? And another question is, if a woman doesn't study Kabbalah but doesn't stand in the way of studying Kabbalah, but doesn't support but doesn't reject, does it mean that she receives light and everything she needs from you unconsciously? And a third question. There are a lot of cases when men come to Kabbalah through women. Women bring men along. They don't have a point in the heart. There are a lot of examples like that, that men leave classes, studies, under the pressure of women that don't support. In other words, the question is, how should a man work in a couple in order to elevate the importance of that, and how to use the situation when there is no support from the spouse?
During the centuries, women participated very minimally in Kabbalah, and now this is their hour, as I said. Throughout the centuries, essentially men studied it, although there were several strong female Kabbalists. In our time, it doesn't matter if you're married. A man or a woman may study. It doesn't matter if you're in a family where your spouse desires it or doesn't. Of course, in a family where there is a mutual understanding, then it's easier to study. But when there's a lack of understanding, it might even be more productive. Since the resistance might actually help you further along the path, how to solve this, how to work around it. Through the generations, there were many Kabbalists who had wives that hated their study. I know from my own experience through knowing these Kabbalists. They aren't in this world anymore, but I knew them somewhere 30 years ago, maybe 25 years ago. And their wives were absolutely against. And I would say that it helped them very much in their spiritual progress. This is not a reason to get divorced if a woman doesn't want it. If she's disruptive to you to the point where you're unable to advance, that's a problem. Then at that point you need to somehow to calm her down, to come to a compromise, something. And only in this case, if you're unable, in any case, if she just completely sucks the life out of you, then in this case it's possible, it's acceptable to get a divorce, because the soul is above the body. The saving of the soul is more important. But if there are absolutely no problems other than this, then if she's completely against it and there's no way around it, then it must be then you can get divorced. But in general, a man has to do everything in his power in order to avoid that. And in general, most of the time it works out if he wants to. And when a woman brings a man, most of the time she also succeeds, and it's admirable. And it shows, actually, again, that the female desire controls the world. Now, if a spouse has a point in the heart or not, there is nobody that doesn't have a point in the heart. The question is how deep it is. And under the influence of their spouse, it may manifest very quickly or not. And then, if it does, and I know such families where the man didn't want to, his woman brought him there like a kid by the hand, and then all of a sudden he raced past his friends and her. So all of this is conditional. You have to apply all the forces in order to maintain the family and leave only if there's absolutely no other way. And this is just a very sort of end case where this almost doesn't happen ever. And basically, as a rule, there are other problems in the family. And externally, they say it could be Kabbalah related, but in general, that being the only issue is not a problem.
Hello, I'm from Israel. A few questions. First, a man has to realize women's desire, and what's part of a woman? What does she needs to scrutinize? What is the work of one woman opposite one man? Another question about circulation. Okay.
Hold on, I'll answer the first one. What does it mean that a man should fulfill the desire of a woman? The interpretation can be completely incorrect. It doesn't mean that my wife now starts dictating what she wants from me and I have to run around and fulfill these desires. It doesn't mean that I even have to say anything. This is her aspiration towards correction. And I feel and I'm and aspire forward with my desires, and together we complete each other. You don't need to say anything about it. You don't need to press on the man with your words to pressure them, especially if your desires aren't connected to your spiritual progress. We're not talking about anything on this level. We're talking about those desires when you want to correct yourself, you want to ascend. And in this way, a man feels your aspiration with the seriousness that you are relating to the world. Second question.
The second question about the circulation and kids, upbringing. Everything starts from household. Can we have a view of the household and kids and family as the first front of circulation? How should we relate to cases when kids are fighting each other, when we have to make them eat a breakfast? Or friends come and want to play with kids. We're not talking about kids that are in a Kabbalistic framework, but kids that are all over the place, all over the world.
Everything's understood. Let's... Friend Grisha is translating. How to relate to children who are coming from outside of a Kabbalistic world. All of this is written very clearly on our site, in the internet. And I don't think you should have any questions here. How to work with kids is written. There are many materials about it, clips. You can even ask questions, receive answers. How to occupy children so that they would fight less. There are also answers to this. How to bring kids to the kids programs. How to add them to the kids programs. You can download them during hours that are convenient for you. What do I do with my kids when they have friends visit that are completely far from our upbringing? To my kids, they don't have any kids. If these sorts of kids come to play with your child, then this is your problem. Don't await anything good from your kids. I don't have this problem. Our kids go to a general school and then run away from there immediately after the lesson in order to come to us and to come to the place where they study together. Our kids, during recess, no matter where they are, they try to be together because they understand that this means that they're among kind, good friends with whom it is good. If we learn that everything depends on the society, we need to do everything so that our kids will be in the right environment. And if some strange kids come to my house who are only coming to play some sort of games, and then they'll be smoking, and then they're doing drugs, why do I need this? With these kids, I don't let my children play. I didn't allow them. Yes, please.
Dami from Croatia. I have a short question. What should men learn from women in order to advance spiritually?
Короткий вопрос, чему мужчина должен учиться у женщины для того, чтобы успешно продвигаться к духовному?
Мужчина может учиться у женщины. A man can read from a woman. Persistence in reaching the goal. A woman is more persistent. She follows through more than a man. She can correct a lot of shortcomings in a man. She can support him. She can, like a mother, let's say, a man feels himself next to his wife like a child next to his mother in some things. And this comes out of here as well. Why? Because Malchut is the female part. And Bina is the female part. And we, as men, are between both of them. And therefore, we feel ourselves either or with my mom or with my wife, between them. And honestly, sometimes we mix them up. That's true, right? So I'm not sure how to say it, how to put it. If you want to, let's say, for you have a normal family to have a nice stable family, you want to find a woman who's very similar to your mom, maximally similar to your mother. Then you'll have a nice stable family. Well, all right, we're done with Croatia.
Hello, Rav, I'm from France. I have a question.
Uh,
What are the criteria to choose a woman, a peer, a woman who studies Kabbalah or the one who, which I like?
Both, Rav says, I meant. Actually, choose both, one and the other. How else? This one, where is this? Where's my sketch? Show my picture. Okay, this one that's over here. He likes the one that he likes. He likes the woman that he likes. Well, it's a woman from our world. So it means. You know, it's like No, just basically a female that is according, that's appropriate for the man. But this is this is appropriate for your soul. Somebody that you will be able to reach the goal with. But we are in our world. Therefore, you can't just throw yourself into somebody. You can't just ignore your egoistic part. So she has to satisfy both. She mustn't be physically repulsive to you, but not more than that. Not more than that. Look at yourself in the mirror. That's first. And second, she needs to feel, she needs to be like a helper, a support, and somebody that's maybe even pushing forward. Another question, alright.
What is the purpose of jealousy between men and women? And how can that be associated with the correction?
Between spouses?
Yes, between spouses.
Well, it keeps them together. Without jealousy, we can't exist. Jealousy is a natural animal consequence of my egoism. It shows how much my egoism is introverted, how driven within itself it is, how much it wants to gather in itself. What here, what's next to me, this is mine, and so on. That's a natural, good desire. There aren't really bad desires and qualities. Jealousy is a good quality. Good. But don't just be jealous of your wife. But in general, jealousy, why isn't this mine, why isn't this mine, why isn't this mine? This envy, try to make everything yours. This is good. Count everything as yours. Yes? And if it's a woman that's jealous? If it's a woman that's jealous all the time, this could be a problem. I'm not saying about psychological problems, but in general life, jealousy is, it's a very good additional quality of unity of two people. They're afraid of losing each other. They watch over the other maybe a little bit. Knowing that the other isn't trustworthy, that means I'm afraid. It's very good. Then my head is already in that I'm looking at the other, and I don't have this tendency to think about, hey, where can I go, maybe. So in her place, I would make it such that you would be jealous of her, not that she would be jealous of you. You should offer her that.
My name is Charlotte from the München Group. I have a question about circulation.
sollen können und ich kann damit ganz im Frieden leben. Aber ich habe trotzdem ganz stark das Gefühl, wir haben ja nicht mehr so viel Zeit, dass wir doch im Rahmen der Verbreitungsarbeit für Anfänger doch Vorträge halten könnten.
I know that in the framework of circulation, women can't be studying, be teaching, be professors. But considering the fact that we don't have enough time, can women give lessons to the new beginners?
You have to understand that from this construction that I drew here, the men's part, it teaches. The male part influences. The male part brings the light through itself. And the female and all the beginners, let's say men and children, women can teach girls, let's say, or a woman to another woman. In some cases, for girls, definitely. But even for women, a man should teach. A light is brought into this world through the male part. And the next step is born out of this light, is given birth by the woman. And so we have to build these relationships likewise in the group. Perhaps there's no other way, and a woman is the only one except 100 men who can teach. I don't know what kind of case there would have to be in order for her to become a teacher. You can turn to her for suggestions. Even men can turn to her for suggestions, but as a teacher, I don't really imagine for myself how it could be. That's it? All right, let's go on. More questions?
Gruppe Wien. Ich habe eine Frage. Wir haben im letzten Unterricht gesprochen über die Beziehung zur Frauen- und Männergruppe.
I'm Ari from the Vienna group. Last lesson you mentioned there is a relationship between female and male groups.
Aber oft kommt es zu einem Fall, dass sie oft Themen besprechen wollen, nur die Männergruppe, jetzt ohne die Frauengruppe, und zu keiner Entscheidung kommen.
Our Vienna group has advanced really well, and there were certain things that we have to decide within the group.
Wir kommen zu keiner Entscheidung gemeinsam, nur die Männer.
And we can't come to one common denominator, one agreement, man.
Vielleicht zahlt es sich aus, in diesem Fall zu solchen Veranstaltungen und zu solchen Diskussionen in allen Themen, unsere Frauen mit einzuladen oder mit gemeinsam dazu zu beziehen. Überhaupt, welche Aufgabe hat die Frau in einer Männergruppe, die ganze Frauengruppe? Vielleicht kann man das noch einmal erklären.
Maybe you could explain again. Maybe we should invite a representative of a female group to these meetings.
Now, first of all, as soon as a group is formed, there are problems. Not in the beginning, perhaps, but within a couple of groups, immediately you get problems. Why? Because look what we're seeing here. From this scheme, we see myself and my point in the heart, and the group, this sigma, the sum of all the points in the heart, and the group. I'm against it, it's against me. As soon as we begin to organize a group, immediately this game begins of my egoism. And who am I in this group? Why am I like this? Why am I not bigger? Why am I not the most important? And so on. And this is a natural, natural course of events, and we need to understand from the beginning, as soon as the group is organized, in a couple of weeks, you will have problems with it. We are uncorrected egoists. When you have such great egoists, and with spiritual demands, that's it. Without a doubt, there will be problems, and they're natural. Either I hear that they're okay, when I hear that the groups are okay, either they're lying, or they're just not talking to each other. It can't be that there are no problems. It's the law of nature. Law of nature. egoistic nature. So first we have to understand that all of these problems are correct. They appear correctly. They should be this way. They should appear. We should work with them. That's first. Second, we need to relate to them philosophically. In other words, from above. To understand that this is a problem on our material level of animal nature. And we can argue about it. You can complain about it. You can say, you can blow off some steam. Let's say you can argue about it. You can yell about it, but then afterwards you should read the article. There's none else besides him, or listen to what we talked about today. There are many things like this. All sorts of articles and discussions about this, and understand that all of this happens on purpose, purposefully, in order to elevate you. You saw how we drew last time the balance. It's on the left side, and we have to add to the right. We have to add the positive to increase the correct influence between us, the socializing between us, the quality of bestowal. So to increase the importance of the friend of the group above my own egoism. And as soon as I'm balanced, then again you're going to have this other, then again it'll fall back into this egoism. Yeah, this guy's doing like this, I want it like this. Everything that's in the group. And once again, I need to add the quality of bestowal, and with this I'll be able to elevate, and only like this we grow. You know, you saw how we drew this, right? I have a minus and a plus, which are the same, and then there's an imbalance into the minus. This is our ego. And I have to balance it, equalize again, such that the plus and the minus would be the same. This means I have to add here. Here, ego is added on the bottom, and here I need to add bestowal to the top. And in this way we grow. So await the problems in the group. And know that they are purposeful, goal-oriented. Secondly, can women and the women's part, or women in general, can you invite them to the men's group, to all sorts of discussions and decisions? Of course you can. We have a spiritual, how's it called? A spiritual directorate. A spiritual directorate, and there are two women, Rachel, you know, my daughter, and another woman. In general, you can appoint more, and the rest are men. There are more men. There's like, I don't know, 15, something like that. And in general, everywhere you should include women. So this is essential, and you should invite them as much as possible. The female presence stabilizes, brings balance. It diffuses problems. These sort of this is the quality of the woman in our world. It's a good organized female group guarantees 100% that the male group will go forward. Women undergo stress much more stress. Women are able to undergo much more stress than a man. We see it. They seem to us they're so delicate and gentle, but they're not. They're very strong. A man is able to apply a great amount of force in a short time, but a woman is able to progress gradually and stay oriented on the goal. So in no case can you isolate the men's group from the women's. They should be equal. If you have repeated problems in the men's group, the best method of solving it is to bring their women representatives.
I would like to ask a question, and I hope it's not just mine. If all of this world exists in order to come to the spiritual world, that the purpose of everything is just to come to similarity with the Creator. So I thought to myself, I used to think to myself, why do we need all these things, material things and occupations? It's boring. Afterwards, I understood that it's important, that you can't do without it. Maybe, is this a question? No. So, so she says basically what we have to do is to be in congruence with these laws, to open the ears, to go with the flow, to build the world, to build the life, external life, so it will be in equilibrium, in harmony with the laws that exist. In particular, what we discussed, the family, it's very important for women and in general for a person's development, but I have a problem. Let's say if I'm meeting a person, I don't really know what is basically connecting us, and I don't know how to interact. I don't have a word to basically express it.
You're not required to get married in your spiritual progress. You don't have to be a wife
or
a woman.
Isn't this a corrected form?
I'm not sure if it's more corrected or corrected. I'm talking about what is necessary. Then afterwards, you should decide. You can progress very well spiritually, not getting married, not reproducing, and not creating any sort of family unit and so on. I'm telling you, just I'm giving you a fact. This is a law. Beyond the fact, you can add whatever you feel.
If I can see that all the material obstacles the person receives is for a person to advance by overcoming them, can't I deduct that from my life?
I'm not sure. I see you a lot of time. You're staying with us many months.
I'm living there.
You live with us.
I've moved to Israel.
Oh, I thought you were still a guest. So, alright, you need to just see if you can solve this problem. If you're meeting with somebody, if you have an opportunity to solve it, if you don't think it's necessary, then it's not necessary. I'm telling you seriously, it's completely not required. Women don't have this problem, men do. A man, it's better for him to be married because it's just another weight on his shoulders.
It seems to me that it's more wholesome form of interaction.
No, it's not a more wholesome or less wholesome form. A woman can give herself completely to spiritual work, to connect with a group, to work somewhere, to spend all her time in dissemination. If I hear, like you say, that you don't understand why I have to be next to somebody, I don't, what does he want from me? I don't want anything from him. Then why would you force it? Enjoy your life.
Maybe I'm not formulating the question correctly.
Okay, so formulate it correctly and then go get married. What can you say? What advice can I give? Everything will be fine.
Vladimir from Hamburg. Question about the education of kids and the teenagers.
Yes, this is our topic. Thank you.
I would like to ask right now, if I may. I heard you mention that according to Kabbalistic principles, you have to begin to bring up a kid, and there's certain pressure from a certain age, and you can explain Kabbalah to him, and then by so begin the upbringing.
As a rule, children which are young don't need pressure. Just everything that they see, it depends on which. If you take a small kid, a small child, I was teaching my son when he was 7. My teacher, Rabash, agreed with this. I see how quickly he absorbs it, and that he doesn't have any antagonism towards it. He just sees that his father studies it, he's reading a book, and when I started reading this book out loud, then he calmly, you know, helped me with the words. I was reading poorly back then. He was helping me with the words and started to absorb brilliantly all the material. So there was no antagonism. So instead of a 7-year-old, you took a 17-year-old, then he would think, why would a father, you know, why did it jump into my dad's head now to sit next to me? I want to sit next to some girls. What is this? So now, at least, back to the child, to give him opportunities so that it will be interesting for him. Here, with us, we have very simple methods. Let's say a child likes to make movies. We created for them a course of filming. And not just filming, but writing scenarios, story building, making films out of them, then editing this film, and bringing it to a full production. This attracts them. Method number two, guitar. Every kid wants to play guitar. And for us, we have many first-class professional musicians, and truly musicians, and guitarists. They are teaching these guys guitar. Wow, those are proud. Look at who's teaching us, and so on. So we have to work with the children. Then it'll be easier for you. But you're just saying, hey, all right, buddy, sit down. 1 hour, I'm going to explain to you what is partsuf, whatever. Understand this, of course.
That's exactly what I wanted to clarify, so that we won't be confused in this. What's the right approach in spiritual?
This is the approach. So teach one where he wants to learn. Wherever he's interested, you can. But you should envelop this teaching in an externality that he wants, but inside, it should be something that he needs. It's not easy. And then reward him for efforts. You can't do anything. We're working with small egoists here. Yes, 1 minute. Hold on. And now, according to children. So again, I'm working again with this problem in UNESCO. I'm hoping to reach some results. The world is in a bad state. You know what school means? Well, perhaps in other countries there are different degrees. But in general, we never went through an upbringing. We aren't related to our world at all. The world is the opposite to us. We have to rebuild ourselves and redo children as ourselves. So the problem with education is the biggest problem in the world. And this upbringing, it's not just to make them, you know, nice, kind of polite gentlemen, people, sorry, but to make them in such a way that they would easily adapt to spiritual needs which nature is putting before us. These spiritual demands. Nature is telling us to be global, but we're not global. This is where all our problems is coming from. That's why you have all these revolutions in Africa, and that's where they'll end, and you have economic problems, economic And this is the revelation of this crisis. In general, the crisis is one. It just manifests on different levels with respect to us, because we aren't like it on the level of nature. This next level of nature, to which we have to ascend, it is a level of elevation from our world that we occupied with for many thousands of years to the next level, the spiritual. And this is why everything ends. This force that drove us before is coming to an end. And according to this, we have to start teaching our children. And so just like we can't solve our problems in this world, not in family, not with ourselves, not in politics, not in money, not in ecology, even with upbringing, we won't be able to solve any problems, because here you need a global upbringing to make out of a child a creature that will feel themselves as living with others. I depend on them like a small wheels, like small gears in a machine. This is what the global crisis is showing us now, this global crisis, this complete dependence on each other. And when a child understands this, then just out of this one thought, his life doesn't become just easier. It's more successful. He just becomes successful in everything that he does. That's how it happens. Why? Because he's closer to the law of nature. Just this one thought, just this one intention changes his entire destiny. Just this understanding that we're in a global world, that we're all connected to each other, it works through him onto the surrounding field. And that's it. And he's totally different. He solves all of his problems differently. Well, somebody want to ask about kids?
My name is Marina. I'm from Israel. I have a question about education, upbringing. In Ra'anana, we are opening a house of Kabbalah, and we are opening classes for youngsters, for kids. And the population there in Ra'anana is mixed couples. We're not talking about a framework which we can call an environment. It's an hour and a half, and two a week, which is basically a certain event. Would it help a person to give him a certain direction of giving him an hour and a half or 2 hours a week for him to grow up in the values of Kabbalah?
Okay, what is the question? The question is in the following. A woman understands the question, which is here, which is in for most people. The thing is that we are in such a state, she said, that we're not living with you in your nice environment where everybody after school, where the kids come after school into your Kabbalistic center, and they have this great framework, this separate place where the girls gather and the boys gather, and there's a huge amount of volunteers. We don't have this. They gather for about an hour a week together, and the rest of the time they are by themselves. What should I do? This is everybody's problem. What do we do? We don't know except one thing. We are trying to give you a maximal amount of hours of interesting programs for children of all ages in the internet. If you go into our archive, you'll see what an enormous amount of programs there are, songs, stories, everything you can imagine. Let's create more. There isn't any other choice but to make a serious virtual network. A serious one which means that it would be appropriate for everyone, for all children, for all different interests in everything. We need to do this. We need this for ourselves and for the whole world. So as a result, we'll come to such a state that instead of a child sitting in front of the TV, let him instead watch our shows. They spend a lot of time in front of the computer. Let them work. Let them watch our shows. Try to convince them that this is good, it's healthy for you, for them. Buy them, I don't know, little rewards for complying. But we need to rebuild them under ourselves. We must do this because the upbringing, the education of a child is your responsibility. And you have the right to force them. Dissemination, we can't force adults. Dissemination is always voluntarily. It always comes to adults. It's like we're just, you know, there should never be a case where we're forcing somebody, where we shouldn't be shoving advertisements in people. But with children, it's the opposite. We must do it under pressure. Also, this is your responsibility. You're forcing them to do things anyway, to do whatever you want. Even more so here. This is as it said. How do you say? How do you say it? A father that pities, that doesn't beat his son, hates him. Not literally, not in the exact sense, but in central, it's forcing, because you're working with a small child, and so you have the responsibility to force a child to receive the upbringing that they feel is the best for him. And they'll always resist, of course, naturally. And any quality that you have here, which is possible, anything you can do to isolate them from a bad environment, here there can't be any compromises. Now, first, let's say,
question, what is going to be the dynamics of the tendency of the development of a global crisis in the nearest 5 years?
I recommend for you, you should buy Apple stock. No, I'm kidding. I don't work there. I don't know. Friends. Nobody can predict the future. Only if we want for it to be good, it will be good. If we want it to stay as it is, then it'll also stay this way. It depends on us. This is our freedom of will. In which way this progress comes out. We'll come to the same place more slowly, with more suffering, or we can easily and quickly come to this goal with an understanding consciously. How will we come to it? It depends on you and not on me. And so it's not a question to me, but to everybody. And we have to understand, as what we want to do, that's how the world will go. There are no rulers of the world. You can rule it.
Can you write or express the mechanism of coming out of yourself, exiting yourself?
Exiting from yourself is exist in such a way that I can dissolve in front of my friends. We have to understand that the society that's around us is created artificially. We have this artificial sensation that besides me, there are more people. I don't know how many, 500 or something. I'm given this to see so that I can imagine how to exit from myself. Everything is created so that I would have the sensation that something outside of me exists. And then I'd be able to exit from myself as if. And then test if I'm exiting from myself there. Do I sense myself in them? And I don't sense myself, and as if I don't sense myself. Can I imagine such a state where I only sense myself in them? This is why our world, in our perception of reality, is felt by us. We're studying with you in the science of Kabbalah. That our soul consists of five parts. Galgalta einaim, ozen, hoten, pe. This part is called Galgalta Einaim. This part is called Ozen Hoten Pe Achat. What's inside of Galgalta Einaim is felt as us, by us, as us. Even Ozen is felt as us. What's meant is here the root. The soul, the body, the dressing or clothing, and the hall or the palace. This is what it's called. It's not related to anything. It's not related to a body. It's just we have a kli here of sensation where I feel myself as me. This is me. This is me naked before you. These are my three inner attainments. And besides this, I also feel the world. To the degree that I feel it close to me, what's clothing on me, clothes, as if. And next, what's distanced from me, halls, let's say, or the palaces. This is me in three circles, in my three attainments. And more, and besides this, we have two more attainments, which are clothing and the hall. We see it like this because we're imperfect in our descent from the world of infinity. We pass through these states, a state which was called the breaking, or shvira, what Rav writes, shvira, in Hebrew, the breaking of the soul, the single soul, the single creature, which the light creator was broken into many parts, and so I feel myself together with billions, and according to my egoism, I'll feel myself more or less. According to amount, when egoism grows, then we'll have dozens of billions. Egoism lessens, we'll feel that we have a couple hundred million. This is all incorrect. This is all just in my sensations, given to me purposefully so that I would feel, so I'd be able to test myself. Am I exiting from myself or no? This is a false sensation of reality. That as if I exist and other people exist. In reality, nobody else exists. The only thing exists is me against one single light of the Creator. And the same thing you can say as, and anybody can also say this, everybody else seems like separate parts, but they're also just part. They're just parts of his soul. So the exit from yourself can be measured in singularities, in units, and written what's written to us in Kabbalistic books. So if I try to exit from myself, to align myself with the group, to enter it, to enter the same desires, it doesn't matter which desires they have. It completely doesn't matter. If they're driven forward a little bit, that's enough for me. Then I, with this sensation, I'd be able to be sure that I'm going toward the goal. I have with which to work. I have a clear laboratory in which I can study myself and my exit from myself. So, Yanis's question is, can you describe the mechanism of exiting yourself to the outside? Yes, exiting from yourself to the group. Next, he also wrote a question.
How to correlate the broken souls of Biyat with material bodies from up down.
Everything that happens in our world occurs only in order to fasten our souls from a state of broken souls into the world of Atzilut. Here we have Malchut of the world of Atzilut. Here we live through on the level of our world, to leave this world, and to occupy ourselves with the ascent of the souls. And now we're convinced, presently, that no actions on the face of this planet can help us. It brings us to the conclusion that we have to occupy ourselves with the ascent of the souls, and from this state, I and the group and the unity in the unity between them, this is called the attainment of Malchut. I'm getting a sign that we're wrapping this up. We're coming to a close. What is our purpose? Do we have any more questions? Yes.
I would like only to add, relating to the topic of arts, why don't we have people among us in the groups that are heavyweights in this topic? Again, Ralph says, there aren't many people that are capable of making a film or writing a book. Or
there are such people.
So they would have a name, recognizable.
I'm not sure I understand.
We've spoken about the transition. I think that without the people who are prominent in arts, it's impossible. Or maybe it's not, I don't know. I would think that people who are prominent in arts...
I understand you. Yes, the thing is that... these artists are able to suffer. They're able to write very well, but not about what they need. They live in their egoistic desires. They can reflect them somehow. All of this is correct. But in order to show in the examples of our world and the images of our world, so that it would be understood what we're talking about. For this, we need somebody to be a Kabbalist that lived through these parts, having lived them in himself, and at the same time, to have a muse. He can be a great Kabbalist and absolutely be, you know, in the description of something of these sensations, just not for it. Also, besides this, you have to find a key. How can we describe that spiritual action which he undergoes, which happens with him? here you don't, a desire isn't enough. It's not even enough for him to be a great Kabbalist. And it's not enough for him to be, let's say, a composer or an artist or a screenwriter. I'm not even sure if this is possible. How to express spiritual metamorphoses in such a clear and understood way by everyone, through perhaps a play, a film, a symphony. I don't know, I just can't imagine it.
We have an example. We had, I didn't get the title. It's Absolute Kabbalah. I think that there would be a case that there's someone among us that can do it.
If you show that there's somebody that's ready for us for this, then I think we can do it. I only have what's available to us. I am, myself am very limited. I'm very sort of dense. Just a scientist. In my nature, I'm a scientist, I guess, to study. To have this muse, I've never really had a muse. The first time that I'm here, and I'm very carefully listening to this information.
I find a lot of parallels with some kind of philosophers who are studying the Veda or whatever. I've seen your film with conceptual social security. Ah, I remember of says. Yes, please your opinion if possible, if you had the opportunity to go through their programs.
No, I didn't study any of their programs. No conceptual foreign. They have many good recommendations.
They have a lot of recommendations for upbringing, to teach the kids thing in images.
I don't know. I'm sitting in German.
Mass degradation of a young generation, a problem with the future. There's no future, basically. Ralph continues to read the question, and so forth.
I don't remember this friend, Shimova. Honestly, I don't know. Conceptually... Is this something from St. Petersburg, maybe? Club, I remember, but when was this? This is from St. Petersburg? Oh, this is when later they wrote a book, a scientific couple, no? Pushkin was translating it? So there was no... I'm not sure what was left. Let's just work together. I'm already old. You know, as Panikovsky said. So let's connect to this group, search. You know, by all these people, you can write together with them, write materials. If somebody has interesting things, here's our representative, Sasha Kozlov from the Alexander Kozlov from the Russian department. Write to him. Who's in Russian? Who's our representative from the Hebrew department? German, we have Eddie. Let him stand up. So we have representatives from all languages. We have to take this into our hands very seriously now. The world is moving very, very quickly. That we would never catch up to it. After this Congress, we have to plug into very serious work so that our internet, our sites, for children, women, adults, So they would just attract everybody. So the Kabbalah would be written in the simplest possible way. So it would be easy, pictures, songs, anything that you want. We have to make this available and attractive for everyone. And each of you has this opportunity. You just don't do anything yourselves. Well, you do it, but you don't put it through the internet. Just please don't release or publish anything on yourself, because it should go through our own checks, our ideological department, because we actually get a lot of damage from some things that people put in the internet, because it comes across like spam, and it's very bad, and a person stops himself from his spiritual progress, and all of us together, and as a result, it goes back to him with bad consequences. I understand that we didn't talk about everything. We heard more questions than answers. But in general, now, this year, this 2011 and 2012, these are seminal years. These are determining years. We can ascend above all, above this wave, the crest of this wave. We can ride the crest of this wave in our inner connection, in our hearts, and secondly, with our common work, especially in the internet. We have two main directions. One, the development of information which is available for everyone, and education for children. If we can, through our internet system, be able to teach children, we can show the world what is this program that makes from a small animal a human being. And I hope this for all of you. Thank you.